On this week's show, Desmond Wong of the Gentle Bros makes his possum return to treat us to Cat Quest 2, a formidable follow-up that is sure to scratch us in all the right places. Farfetch'd receives a gallant evolution 20 years in the making. Meanwhile, Alan Wake may be unleashing his American Nightmare onto the Nintendo Switch. And finally, the Hype Zone reveals one ring to fuel them all. This is Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 117. Everybody, and welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens episode 117 for the week of September 23rd, 2019, sponsored by MeltedPins.com. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, each and every week, it never fails, I can't get rid of him, he's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I want you to ask me again after you introduce our guest formally on the show.
Okay, it's going to be one of those shows.
One of those shows, yeah.
And with us making his return to Nintendo Dual Screens, he said he would come back on when he released Cat Quest 2 or was close to releasing Cat Quest 2, and he did not disappoint. How are you, Desmond Wong?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. It's an early sunny morning here in Singapore, and can't wait to talk to you guys about it.
We both just woke up, me from an evening nap, which I woke up from about 16 minutes ago. You just woke up to start your beautiful, beautiful day over there. And I'm raring to go. Now, Andy, I will ask you again because you are an idiot. How are you doing today?
Dude, this is some really cool shit happening on our show right now.
It is.
Desmond, he was our third guest on the show ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He is the third returning guest on the show.
Seriously? Whoa.
You know what that means?
What does that mean?
It means he's going to come back on the show a third time to talk about Cat Quest 3.
Yes. Well, that's confirmed.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable. There's nothing you can do about it. That's just how it's going to be.
Oh, and also, one more thing. So we've spoken to devs before that have their games either a week or a month or a year and change out from release.
Right.
Or they've released it prior to coming on the show.
Sure. Yep.
Cat Quest 2 came out the day of this recording.
Indeed.
That's a first for us. The day the game came out, we get the dev on the show.
That's right. And you know what? That's our dedication to you, listeners. Yes. That's what it is. And it's the fact that, Desmond, you were the first. There's another thing that you were first of. You were the first dev to join our Discord.
Oh, really?
Yes. You were the first dev to say, yes, I'll join your Discord. You were all like, oh, you know, I'm not going to say much. I don't really say very much. And that was fine. You had some conversations. It was a lot of fun. Anytime somebody adds you or whatever, one of us idiots speaks to you, you would reply. And you've been nothing but an awesome member of our community. And we welcome you back to Nintendo Dual Screens. And I am so excited to talk about Cat Quest 2. Now, I did not, as you know, I napped this evening, so I did not play Cat Quest 2. I was going to play it before hopping on, and so we could talk a little bit about my hands-on, but I'm actually excited to hear about this without having touched it yet. So, folks, for those of you that are new here to Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, this is an interview show where Andy and I bring on an industry guest to talk about the indies and Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify, and of course, on dualscreens.com and YouTube. Please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. It does help us out. My cats are my foster kittens are biting my foot. Ow. This is Munch, and he wants to say something. Okay. You could also support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Alex Gonzalez. Thank you so much. We cannot continue to grow without everybody's support. And as I mentioned, Desmond is in our Discord group, which you can join for as little as $1 on patreon.com/NDS podcast. Make sure you share this show with your friends. That is the best way to get the show in front of more people. Is to tell your friends, be like, hey, I listen to this awesome show. They interview a lot of indie devs, and they're really, really good, and they're the best thing ever. I mean, you have to lie, but that's okay. It's mostly truthful. All right. Before we get into this week's lead story, which is all about Cat Quest 2, it's all about Desmond, before we get into the Nintendo News Report, it is time for everybody's favorite segment, the Nindies of the Week! That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Nindies of the Week. Andy, what you been playing, my handsome dude?
I am playing a game that also came out the same day of this recording.
Indeed.
And that's Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, oh my God. That just came out, yeah.
Oh my God, you play as a jackass goose. That's like the only thing you have to know about this game. The rest is just whatever. It was called, or dubbed for a long time, Metal Goose Solid.
Yeah.
You can go into a cardboard box, so you can legit be like a Solid Snake goose in this game. But the main idea is you're a goose and you just fuck up people's lives. That's all it really is when you boil it down to its simple base premise. And it's so much fun. I played like an hour of it on the train ride home from work today. I am in love with this game. Now, I hear that's a bit on the short side.
Yeah, you only have another hour to go, I heard.
Right. So I'm like, God damn it. I got to stretch it out. But the game is on sale today, I think until October 4th. I think it's like $5 off on the eShop.
Yeah, it's only $15 right now, I think.
Right. So, yeah, that's a good price for a game that's maybe 2-ish hours long. But it's really fun and really charming, and I love it. Love it so much.
I am my Nindie of the Week is it came out yesterday from this recording, actually. It is something I am still in the middle of playing so that I can review, but it's a game called Lost Castle, and it is a gorgeous little up to 4-player brawler, essentially. You're these little knights and all this stuff going through these spooky little castle, fighting a bunch of little monsters. Level up system. I've only just scratched the surface, but I was actually really surprised. I thought it was going to be one of those like budget type things where I was going to, you know, it was going to be obviously be like a port of something or just, I don't know. It just didn't seem like it was going to be as high budget as it actually feels when you're playing it. So I was actually really surprised. There's a ton of different weapons to pick up and use. You could also do death battles, which I haven't been able to try yet, but I've looked at them, and it seems like you know what it's a lot like Castle Crashers. And if you were a fan of that and you want to try something that's not that, because that is now also out on the Nintendo Switch, look at Lost Castle. It's actually pretty cool. And then, of course, I mean, Desmond is here to talk about a very specific game, and I'm sure he hasn't really been playing anything other than that, considering the damn thing came out literally today. So, I mean, Desmond, have you been playing any other indies besides?
I have a huge backlog of games in general. But I've been playing like a couple of indies here and there.
Ooh, okay. So, like,
yeah. So, I think the one that I've been playing recently, it came out a while back though. It was, it's that Cadence of Hyrule.
Good choice.
Yeah. It's the Necro Dancer, but with the Zelda skin thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I haven't finished it. Something happened that wiped my entire save file.
Oh,
it was a mistake. Yeah, it was a mistake on my part because I was pretty close to the end, and I wanted to try the two player with my girlfriend, right? So I didn't realize that the save files were shared. I thought there would be like a separate save slot.
Oh yeah.
For two players, so I kind of overwrote my save file.
Oh no.
That was like.
Damn you, Reggie.
After that, I just kind of gave up. I didn't want to go through everything again.
Man, I remember as a kid.
On YouTube.
Yeah, I'll watch somebody else play it. I remember as a kid when that would happen, especially those dreaded corrupt blocks on PS1 and PS2, especially PS2. Yeah. Oh my God, when you saw those things that say corrupt, and it was like, and for me, aside from like your normal games, like a lot of the games that I would play were annualized sports games or like wrestling games where I would create dozens and dozens of created characters. All my friends would get, I would create all my friends, just like everything. And when that one little, oh man, it was the worst, that seeing that corrupt data little, oh man, I can't imagine what that felt like for you, just to lose all that stuff. I remember when I lost my Metal Gear Solid 2 save, I wanted to throw my PlayStation out the window, because I had been, it was my first, and I don't know, I don't think I've ever 100%ed a game since then, like 100%, like you couldn't do anything else. That was the only game that I did it for, and I lost that save, and I was very upset about that.
Oh my gosh. So you went around collecting all the dog tags.
I had every dog tag. And I actually had to use, there was a typo or something missing in the game FAQ that I used. So I actually had to buy a strategy just to like, and I used, so essentially I used two strategy guides. It took me probably, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 months to do it. Of just, you know, putting on the PlayStation on the weekends or at night and stuff like that, playing a few hours. And yeah, so it was.
Oh my gosh!
That was my life. That was definitely a whole summer of my life completely ruined. but that.
Oh, that's yeah. There's another shout out I want to give to another indie game.
Yes, please do.
That's okay. So it's actually a fellow buddy of mine. So it's another Singaporean developer. So he has. I was messing around with his game that just came out, I think last month. It's called Songbird Symphony. Have you guys tried it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it's out on. It's already out on the Switch, I believe.
Okay, well, let's look it up.
I've been playing it a little bit too. I haven't finished it either, but it's a really cool game. It's you play as a bird, a songbird, and it's a mix of platforming, and rhythm based like music gameplay. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm looking it up right now. I want to know. Ow, cats. Ow. Okay.
Yeah, it looks really cute.
Bird rhythm game.
Yeah, essentially, okay. It's a bird rhythm. Yeah.
Kotaku did an article in August, said it's also an entire musical. Wow, this looks adorable. Cool. I'm getting Patapon vibes from this. A little bit.
Birds are crying. They're so scared of things. Oh my God, I just want to hug them all.
Yeah, this one went under our radar. I don't even remember really saying anything about this game back in the summer. In the summer. Oh, okay, cool, awesome. I'm gonna look that up.
Yep.
Songbird Symphony. Another game. Before we get into what's coming this week, Andy, I did purchase. It is sitting in my bag. As I said, I napped instead of playing any sort of video games this evening, which I desperately needed. I did pick up my Link's Awakening today with the Amiibo.
We all did.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive into that. I've been hearing nothing but great things from the people who have played it so far. So not even next week's episode, because we preemptively recorded next week's episode. The episode after that, you will hear our thoughts on Link's Awakening. All right, so let's get into that's what you could be playing. Right now, it's what we've been playing, but what can you be playing this week? Let's go to the releases of the week. This is from Nintendo.com itself, so if anything changes, it's all their fault. We have Oliver's Adventures in the Fairyland coming to the Nintendo Switch. That is a $7 title, and this looks like one of those titles that'll surprise you, Andy. You know what I mean? Like one of those titles that you're just like, oh yeah, look, that name is a stupid name. And then you start looking at the sprite work, and you're like, interesting.
Yeah, it it might get me, but you never know.
Right, exactly. Dragons, dungeons, sprites, intrigue.
And the word Metroidvania is in the description too, which is
I know. It's a problem.
They know me.
They know Nintendo Switch owners, essentially. All right. Also coming out, this is on the 24th. We got a couple of games coming out on the 24th. We have Contra Rogue Corps, or Corpses. That whole game is essentially a corpse. That's Dead on Arrival. I've heard nothing but awful things about that game. speaking of corpses, we also have Dead by Daylight coming out.
Yeah,
that's scary, and not that it's an actual scary game, but like seeing that game running on a Switch is just scary. I'm nervous for that game. I want to get it in my hands, but I fear for its life. What about you, Andy?
I mean, the dock mode alone is nightmarish.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when in handheld, it's not nowhere near better. So,
yep.
It's
we'll see what happens. So this was announced not too long ago, but we got Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast coming to Nintendo Switch. That's always interesting. Flying Girl Striker. Now I have a question about Flying Girl Striker, Andy, and I'm hoping that you're able to answer this for me. Okay. Are you a flying girl who is a striker, or are you a striker of flying girls? Is this the Antonio Brown simulator? Is this, well, I guess he didn't, he wasn't accused of hitting. He did other
things. I think you're reading it wrong. I think it's Flying Girl Striker. That's how you should read that title.
Well, it's all caps, no comma, no nothing. It's literally three words.
I took it as a wife beating sim. Right. When I read that title.
Right. But looking at it, it looks like a space shooter game, like a first person flight game here, or third person.
Right. But who's in the cockpit?
Third
though?
Person. Right. Is it the flying girl?
It's a girl getting beaten.
Right.
By is the fire.
We don't take those things lightly. Please don't beat your wives. Okay. Out on Android and iOS, we have Mario Kart Tour coming out on the 25th. So that's the Mario Kart mobile game. So I'm sure that's going to be one of those games where you're going to be able to play for 8 seconds, and then it's going to ask you to use a gem. And then you're going to have to use 5 gems total, and then you're going to have to wait for your gems to replenish. And then when you finally, or you're going to drop $15 on 100 gems.
Goddamn credit card number.
Yeah. Reaper, Tail of a Pale Swordsman. This is $6. And it looks cute. I'm not going to lie. It looks simple, but it looks cute. I like cute. Actually, I'm getting Cat Quest vibes, actually.
Just a fun fact. I just bought that that Fairyland game while we were talking.
You did,
like a second ago.
You did, didn't you? All right. You did buy it. Would you buy it on? I mean, it says it's not out till the 23rd. Did they lie? Is this list a lie? This list is a lie, unless Andy pre-ordered
a preload
of a $7 game. All right, cool. Never know. Northgard is out on the 26th. Cyber Protocol is out on the 26th as well. Habroxia is out. Darksiders 2 Definitive Edition is out on the 26th, so I'm curious to see how that runs as well. That was a PS3 game, correct? Part 2?
Yes, it was a PS3 game.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Barry Bradford's Putt Panic Party. And this looks like it could be one of those really fun streaming games. Physics-based mini golf, putt-putt golf fun little thing. What else we got here? I got to close some of these tabs. Oh, my God. Okay. Paper Train is coming on the 26th as well. Gunvolt Chronicles Luminous Avenger. Either 9, I don't know why the I is lower. I guess the I would be lowercase, right? So, yeah, that's 9, right? Is that math? Yeah, that's 9. Here's a good one. Here's a very cool one. Fight and Rage, a side-scroller beat-em-up, like Streets of Rage and all that fun stuff. It's coming out on the 26th as well. A lot of games coming out on the 26th and 27th, folks. Whole lot, but we're not going to get into... Yeah, I guess we are. We got Button Up is coming as well. Dragon Quest The OG Dragon Quest is also coming. Mm-hmm. Our friends are releasing Freedom Finger on the 27th. Oh. Very excited about that. Freedom Finger is awesome. Very excited. Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition.
Mm.
Uh-huh. This is some bangers happening right now. Dragon Quest XI S. Oh. Echoes of an Elusive Age Definitive Edition. There's not enough words in that title, Desmond. Not enough words in that title. It's the week of Dragon Quest. Why would they do this to people? All in one day. Dragon Quest 11, Dragon Quest 2, Dragon Quest 3. Four Dragon Quest games in one day.
But look at look at the price tag, by the way. It's $5 for the first game.
Uh-huh.
$6.50 for the second one, then $12.50 for the third.
Yeah.
What is up with that pricing? I don't get it.
Japan, that's what's wrong.
The games got better. I don't know.
Better, bigger. I can't. Maybe they were like, hey, they're like a crack addict, or a crack dealer. That's what they are. They're a heroin dealer, and they're like, listen, I got that sweet.
Cheap.
Exactly. The first one's cheap. I'm surprised it's not free. The first one's cheap. $5. You dip your toes in the Dragon Quest waters here, and then, oh, you like that? Okay, well, the next one's only $1.50 more, so it's $6.50. Oh, you really hooked now. Okay, now double it, bitch. Double it. Give me that cheddar. Car Mechanic Simulator Pocket Edition. So if you want to be a car mechanic, that's there. Dreaming Canvas. FIFA 20, which is really FIFA 30, which is really FIFA 15. So if you're interested in that. And that is it. That's going to round out the list here. That's it. That's going to round out the list. Now, I do find it interesting that on Nintendo's list, they have two games here listed summer 2019 before a game that they have listed 9/30. So I don't know if these two games are going to make their summer 2019 date, but we had Double Kick Heroes and Blood Roots also on this list. So maybe those are going to get a...
Oh, yeah. Those should have had dates by now, I feel.
I know. It's disturbing. But anyway, speaking of disturbing, Desmond, it's time to talk about...
Wait.
Hold on a minute.
How is this speaking?
Wait a minute. That wasn't a segue. I'm super excited to get into our lead story, the topic of discussion, and all that fun, fancy stuff. Man, Cat Quest 2 is finally here. And, you know, it's funny because I remember, I want to say it was, it was probably maybe March or April when Desmond and I had an offline conversation, a one-on-one conversation. And I don't remember, you released a trailer for the co-op situation. I think that's what you did. So it was around that time. So maybe my timing's off, but it was around that time. And I was excited. So I messaged you. I was like, hey, you know, just want to say it looks great and yada, yada. We can't wait to have you on when you're ready to discuss it. And you were very, very nervous. And you said, I want to start off by bringing this up because it was very cute, but you said, you would love to schedule something, but you don't know if you'll actually make the date that you guys had announced. You weren't sure if you were actually going to be able to get the game out. So you, way back when, months and months ago, you were mentally preparing yourself and me, because you knew how much I love Cat Quest, for a delay. But yet here we are. Cat Quest 2 has started its journey. Can you tell everybody what Cat Quest is, because maybe some people don't know and they haven't played the first one. And then tell us all about your journey these last few months.
So Cat Quest is an action RPG where you play as a cat and you explore this massive world doing quests and looting dungeons. Essentially, it's Skyrim with cats, essentially. Yeah, and with Cat Quest 2, we're introducing dogs. So it's a really cool premise. It takes place during a war between cats and dogs. Mm. And you play as two kings trying to bring peace back to their kingdoms. And it's co-op as well. Yeah.
Ah, it's so adorable. You kind of have like a little isometric view, camera angle there. So, you know, for people who are thinking that they're getting a, you know, you're running around in this first person world, it's not that.
No.
It's bright, it's colorful. It's definitely an action RPG. Tons of spells, tons of stuff at your disposal like that. If you haven't played Cat Quest 1, I'm sure you could get it pretty cheap pretty much anywhere at this point. So I highly recommend it. It was one of my favorite Switch titles at the time, and it was in the beginning of really... when was it, Andy? It was probably, I don't know, maybe 6 months into the Switch life? Maybe more than that? I don't remember exactly.
Well, you know, if you want to go back on the Wayback Machine, I have Desmond's first appearance pulled up on my screen right now.
Beautiful.
Episode 36, to 36. Be exact.
Okay, so well, yeah. And we started we started the week the Switch came out, right? Is that, I think that's when we started the show.
Well, it was in, it was a year since the Switch came out. It was the anniversary of the Switch. So okay. He was on mid March 2018.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So Desmond, you were nervous. You were nervous about getting Cat Quest 2 completed. Right. So can you talk about a little bit about your journey this last year or so?
I can't exactly remember when we had that conversation, but internally, Cat Quest 2 was definitely delayed multiple times. if I'm not wrong, we intended to release the game last year, I believe. Yeah, so we're like almost a year off, in a sense.
Okay, I have our conversation. Okay, we had this conversation February 15th.
Right.
And I told you.
Okay.
And I told you I believed that it would come out, and you said that you believed too. And you kind of promised everyone we'd launch this year and we'd hate to disappoint everyone. And that was the last you spoke about it.
Okay, by then we were pretty set on the current date. Like at least the current quarter of the year that we would release it.
Right.
So in that sense we met all our targets. But before that, we actually meant all our trailers were like the game will release early 2019, which we obviously missed, right? and because those trailers were like still out in the wild, we kept getting like emails and messages from our fans asking, "Hey, where's the game? It's already early 2019." And then we're like, "Oh no, it's coming soon. It's like actually third quarter of this year." Yeah, so. Development has been tough, man. We thought like, you know, sequels would be easier. Like a lot of the things are done, right? Essentially, like the combat system's done,
right.
Like how the quests work are done. But adding that co-op, adding just that second player changes like everything. We had to redo all our mechanics from scratch because now all our enemies had to receive like input from the second player, right? All our quests had to change because every single design element in our quest so far assumed that there was only one player. So, like, what would happen if one player were to talk to the NPC, but the other player was opening a chest instead somewhere else on the map? So it's like suddenly, oh shit, everything has to change. Everything can't work anymore. So, yeah. So we essentially had to like make a whole new game. Almost from scratch, so yeah,
so
it was tough.
Why co-op? Was that like a largely requested feature, or was it something that you just internally you said, "Hey, you know, it'd be fun if we could make a co-op game."
It was a hugely requested feature. So like a lot of our fans messaged us asking, "Hey, can I play this with my girlfriend or with my wife?" Or like parents were asking, "Can I play this with my kids?" And stuff like that, and it really sucked that we had to like keep telling them, "Oh no, you can only play this by yourself," and stuff like this. So adding co-op was something we wanted to do right from the start. It was like one of the new features that we wanted to add to the game, and because we were adding dogs as well, we were thinking like, "Oh, this is a great chance, right? We can have one player be the cat, the other player be the dog, and it'll be awesome." Oh yeah, possum.
Possum.
Well, I'm really glad you guys hit your date because it would have been catastrophic.
Oh god. If you,
but yeah, I know. I know, guys. It's gonna happen a lot, so get used to it.
So I think we can intersperse some of our listener questions because they're actually pretty good questions that would get the conversation rolling as well. So this is from Harry. He's from Facebook. He's actually also a Patreon supporter. He asks, what have you learned and improved on from the original? So what did you learn from doing the first one and improved on that in the second?
So we learned, because one of the other biggest complaint from the first game was there wasn't enough variety, like in both the combat and how the levels were designed and stuff. So we definitely wanted to try and improve that, and by doing so we learned like a lot of different ways to try and do that. So we introduced shooting mechanic in Cat Quest 2, right? So it's not just close range combat this time, there's long range combat as well. All our dungeons are more like kind of like Zelda dungeons now, where there are like puzzle elements to it. So it's pretty cool in that sense. And yeah, we basically learned to just add a lot more variety in the game and add new mechanics that we interspersed throughout the entire length of the game that would like kind of change the way you play the game in a sense. So it's not the same. You're not doing the same thing that you did at the start and the end of the game. Hopefully, if we did it right, you'll be playing the game a lot differently by the time you reach the final boss or like, you know, the end game and stuff like that. Yeah.
One of the things that struck me about the first one was how quickly you can move from quest to quest to quest to quest, just kind of
right.
You some areas of the map were more difficult than others. You had to either level up or just force your way through it to get to a different area or anything or, you know, stuff like that. But for the most part, it was pretty segmented into these different pockets of higher difficulty, essentially. Like, this enemy's level 33 and I'm level 6. Definitely don't want to go there. But there might be a level 8 or 10 just beyond that level 33 that you would have to kind of navigate. Now, with two players, I could see some challenges being even more difficult because you... I would assume... And correct me if I'm wrong, if you're not playing with somebody, the puzzle's still the same that would require two players, or is it does the second player drop out or does like an AI take over the second player? How did you balance that sort of thing?
So like the puzzles won't change. When a second player jumps out, right, that character is replaced by an AI. Okay. So there's always two characters on screen at all times. We do a little of stat balancing when a second player joins in.
Okay.
So we basically tweak the stats of every enemy in the game to account for a second player. Yeah. But it's only a really slight change. This was just mainly like to the feedback that we got. Like the game just got a little bit too easy when two players are involved.
Sure.
So we just tweaked it a little bit to account for that. Wait, what was that your question? Sorry.
Yeah. Do the two characters have different skill sets or different things that they add?
So they both start with different skills, but when you as you progress the game, right? Because it works pretty much how you would think a Cat Quest game would work. So you collect armors, you collect new spells and stuff, but those armors and spells are one off. Like they, you can't. There's no duplicates on them, so you can only equip them on a single character. If that makes sense. So by that virtue alone, you can actually both characters will end up being quite different as the game progresses. So you can customize. Like you can say, like I want this character to have all the support spells, or this character has all the offensive spells, or a mix of both in between. So yeah, in that sense alone, you can kind of control how you want your both characters to turn out, essentially.
Could you play only as the dog character?
You can. There's a button to swap characters. So you can you can swap between the cat or the dog at any time and play the whole game as that character.
So why is it still called Cat Quest?
Right. So that's a very good question, right? Because we're thinking of like what to do next, we're thinking like, we want to introduce the dogs, right? So like should we make a dog quest instead, right? But then we realized we want to build this brand, like this kind of like IP, the Cat Quest IP. So if we kind of had like done a dog quest, people may not have realized that it's part of the Cat Quest world, right? So we wanted to do just like a more traditional sequel in a sense, where it's Cat Quest 2, like it's a sequel. So it's obviously a sequel to the first Cat Quest, right? But we wanted to introduce the dogs instead. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like a Marvel movie, but sometimes in Civil War they introduce Spider-Man, right?
Right.
So it's a bit, yeah, we're using like a Cat Quest, the Cat Quest main series to introduce the dogs instead. So the cat is still pretty much one of the main focus of the story.
Right.
Not to say that the dogs are not important. They're still a huge part of the main plot, but it's still very much a Cat Quest game. If that makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, I was being an asshole, but that's an excellent answer to my to my question.
And you know what? That actually is a good segue to Joe Priestley's question here. He wrote this on Facebook. He says, "Will there be a Cat Quest 3 Meowtle combat?"
Meowtle combat.
Meowtle combat. So there you go. You're talking about the IP. You're talking about the brand. I think a Meowtle combat.
He gave you the name.
So we've been asked this a lot, right? Like what's next for Cat Quest? And we've been telling people. I'm not sure if I've told you guys before, but we want to do 9 Cat Quest games. Because
get out of here.
That makes sense.
Ridiculous. Yeah, because cats have 9 lives, right?
Oh my god.
Yeah, but not all of them would be main series Cat Quest games, sure. Right? Yeah, so like some of them might be spin-offs and stuff. We have like lots of ideas. There's a game we want to make where you play as a cat burglar inside the capital city. So it's a more stealth game, right? So that's pretty cool. We could do like a Cat Quest Tactics or like
you could do a side scroll or beat 'em up easily.
Exactly. This one we actually want to do is it may sound a little grim, but it's gonna delve a little bit on how the afterlife of the Cat Quest universe works. Like essentially, it takes place in like purgatory, right? In a sense.
Look at that. That's a pun.
I like. Yeah. It's a cool idea that we're messing with right now. And of course, like eventually when we're ready, we will do like the next Cat Quest game, like Cat Quest 3 and all these games we want to build them up to the like the final one where it's almost like an Avengers level event where like all these characters from all the past games will like come together and fight the main villain. Yeah, so that's like the grand plan. Whether we manage to get to it is a totally different question. Yeah.
Oh, you have to now. I mean, is your Thanos being set up in your current Cat Quest game?
Yep. So,
you have to do it. Now it's unavoidable. You have to do this. If it takes you 20 years to get there.
At the current rate we're going, it might really take us 20 years.
Eventually you're going to have so much money. You're going to have like 3 teams working on this stuff, 3 games going at once. You'll be fine. Everything will be fine. And speaking of, all that money and all that support, Richie, do you want to read, Andy, do you want to read Richie's?
Richie, another fan of the show, has no question. He just says, just let him know that he's got a devoted fan for life. I will be purchasing any games that he and his team makes.
Awesome.
So Richie, you can pay for 9 Cat Quest games.
There you go.
In the future. 20 years down the line.
Well, it'll be 9, but then the 10th one will be the real that's got to be the real, like, because I mean, you got to have like a ring on every paw, on every finger, right? And every, I don't know.
Oh,
do the Cat Quest rings of fate or whatever you're gonna call them. I don't know. That was dumb. All right, Maltese. had a couple of questions here, and I want to start with the second one, because I think it actually feeds into his first question. But how did Nintendo respond? Did you reach out to them about the sequel, or did they approach you? And like, what was that conversation like?
I think after Cat Quest 1, which did pretty well on the Switch, I think Nintendo and us, including our publisher, we've maintained a pretty good relationship. So we've been like updating Nintendo. Nintendo's been asking us for updates here and there. And so when the game was getting closer to launch, I think, I'm not sure who reached out first, but we managed to start a conversation about potentially getting like Cat Quest into that indie world show, Sizzle Reel
showcase. The showcase,
thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, we knew about that like a few months before it actually aired on YouTube and shown to the public. So yeah, I'm not exactly sure who reached out to who, but because of the first game, we've already kind of maintained this relationship with each other, and we hope this will continue going forward with all our other games.
And Maltese's final question here was, do you feel that the pressure is on when working on a sequel? So obviously you already went into some of the pressures that you had when developing the sequel. Can you talk a little bit more about that? That it's essentially a self-imposed pressure, you know, to get these things.
It's a great question, man. And it's like when we first started the sequel, we were actually thinking like, okay, this is going to be less stressful, right? Because a lot of the things were already made. And we knew we kind of had like people who already liked what we were doing, right? But actually, the more we started to develop the game and the deeper we got, it actually got much harder for us, because we were, every decision we made, we were thinking like, oh shit, would our fans like this? Or like, would they like this new mechanic we're doing? Would they like this, the way we're changing this character? And yeah, it just got super stressful, because we didn't want to like disappoint our fans, essentially, right? It was also really difficult, because on some level we weren't sure if like the success we had from the first game was like a fluke, like did we just get there by accident? So like that whole concept of retaining the spirit and retaining what made the first game fun, but still trying to innovate on top of that, was actually really, really, really tough. So, thankfully, like we've held a lot of playtest sessions and feedback sessions with huge groups of people, and so far the feedback has been awesome. So, like, I think on some level we still managed to make a fun game, but whether our fans will be happy with the final product is still a question, and hopefully we will know a bit more about that soon as the game slowly propagates and launches on all the various platforms. Yeah.
So speaking of that, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna jump in. I was curious why launch first on the Apple Arcade platform?
So that was more of a decision. Of an agreement that we made with Apple. So we actually initially wanted to launch the Steam version at the same time as the Apple Arcade. So it was supposed to be a simultaneous launch, right? But as we got closer to the release date of the Apple Arcade version, we weren't sure if we could meet that release date for Apple Arcade, in a sense. Because part of the agreement was that we could not launch any other platform before Apple Arcade, because that's the whole part of Apple's like selling point, right? Like all right. These games are new, right?
Right.
So because we did not know if we could actually meet that release date for Apple Arcade, we decided not to risk it and we positioned the Steam one a little bit later on the 24th, which is great because it gave us more time to add to fix bugs and basically add lots of cool features for the Steam one that we could not add for the initial Cat Quest launch. Yeah.
Ooh, and, go into that a little bit. What kind of features?
I don't want to like make it sound like a huge stuff, but it's more like damn man, it's more like quality of life stuff. So like the first Cat Quest didn't have keyboard rebinding, right? So that gotcha. That was like yeah, that was something like a lot of our fans were really really angry about. Like they were like, why? It's like it's a PC game. Why doesn't it have keyboard rebinding? So that's something that we are going to have in the game for launch on Steam, right? And I'm not sure if we've talked about this yet, but it's all Cat Quest 2 is also going to be available on GOG as well.
Nice.
Yep. So that's something that we were working on as well with GOG.com. Yeah.
And so, there's no dates yet for console releases. Just sometime later this year. That's the idea.
Yeah, we actually already have an internal date. Like we just settled on it like literally yesterday. So I'm not sure when we're gonna like properly announce it yet. But it's not gonna be that far behind the Steam release.
Okay.
Whew. Yeah.
That's good to know. Because Richie was pissed. He was He was like, "It's out today." He's like, "All right, I'm gonna get the Switch." Wait a minute.
We wanted to get it simultaneous as well, but damn man, the certification process for the consoles are like freakishly long. So. Yeah, we couldn't wait for that.
It happens. All right, any final questions, Andy, before we move on to the Nintendo News Report?
Yeah, how many Ferraris have you purchased?
Oh, God.
What? Zero.
It's usually yachts. We ask the developers.
We usually ask yachts.
From their game, but, you know, given who you are and what you do, I think it's a more appropriate purchase.
Right, so, like... Like, are you guys aware that like cars in Singapore are like stupidly expensive? Like, have you guys heard about that?
No.
Okay, like we have in Singapore, we have this thing called COE, right? Which adds like a kind of like a tax on cars, right?
Oh, carbon and tax.
No, it's more like to keep cars off the road, the roads, because Singapore is a really small country, right? So like they impose heavy taxes on cars. To kind of dissuade people from like buying them, right? So like a regular, like normal car could cost up to like $200,000 to $300,000 in Singapore.
Oh my god!
Holy crap!
Yeah.
How do you get around then?
That's like a starter level car. How do you get around? So like our public transport system is really good. Like
okay, at least there's that.
Yeah. So like I don't know how much like a Ferrari or like a sports car will cost in Singapore. I have not checked, but yeah.
Well, that sounds like a Google if I ever heard.
Get on that
Ferrari. Ferrari Singapore. Yeah. I'm going to look this up.
It just says kidney next to it. It just... A picture of someone's firstborn child.
Oh man. Oh no, you have there's a single okay, I'm getting a lot of stuff for the Singapore Grand Prix.
Already F1, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh well.
Wait, they have that and they don't like people buying cars.
yep.
The mixed messaging there.
All right.
I mean Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Finish your talk. No, I was just going to say it kind of makes sense cuz we're like a super small country and if we have too many cars, like man, our traffic is going to be like pretty shit. So I can see kind
of. We sympathize with shitty traffic. The city is just they're coming up with all different sorts of fees and taxes to get cars off of certain parts of like the city and stuff like that,
right? Or
in Manhattan, and it's like there's just too many goddamn people, and now everybody and now everybody's driving an Uber or a Lyft, and so that's just destroying the traffic. Anyway, that's a different podcast. That's Traffic Cast. We could do that another time. All right. So real quickly, tell everybody where they can currently get Cat Quest 2 and where they can follow the progress of the game and all that fun stuff.
Right. So currently Cat Quest 2 is available on Apple Arcade. It's coming out on Steam on the 24th of September. So that's really soon. That's just next week. Please wishlist it on Steam. It greatly helps the launch of the game. If you want to follow us, we're on Twitter at the Gentle Bros, and you can also go to our Facebook page for Cat Quest, awesome. Which I do not have the link with me right now.
It's all right. I'm always on there. Every time you post something, I'm in there saying something. And you guys always give it a like or comment back and stuff like that. It's very cute. I like your Facebook page. You guys do a good job.
Thanks.
Excuse me. All right, so it is time to get into the Nintendo News Report. We got a couple of interesting stories here. Andy, why don't you take the first story?
I mean, the first one you covered during the releases, and that it's all Dragon Quest themed, kind of soon for the Switch. So the first three games are coming out.
Yeah,
that came out of nowhere. That announcement, I feel. No one really asked for these games. Yeah. But I guess since we have the 11 port for the Switch, which runs pretty well from the demo, it looks great, you know, for a AAA port. But yeah, so those who have not played the first three games in the franchise, they can so do.
I have a theory.
Yes.
Do you think the reason why they wanted to get older games on there is because of the new gameplay mode in 11, where you can play it all at 16-bit, so you know, like 2D 16-bit. Maybe they're like, "Hey, if you fall in love with this, you're really gonna like our older games."
I mean, I think it's a smart move because it's one. It's the fans of the series have now. Oh, the old games are gonna put them on the same console on the Switch, on the go, and play them on the road. Or if it gets new fans, they say, "Hey, here are the series origins. I'll play these." Mm. And there's that link because you can play 16-bit on the new game.
Yeah.
So that's a smart move by Square to do that. But yeah, I mean, I was never a huge fan of Dragon Quest, not gonna lie. I was more of a Final Fantasy guy growing up.
Yeah. Well, that was the States. That's why we didn't get many still, of these games. Yeah.
It was Dragon Warrior to me forever.
Yeah.
When it came out. So I never paid any mind to it when I was a kid. It just looked like, you know, like a Zelda game. I don't know. I was like, what is this game?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's neat. They're all kind of coming back and they're all there again on the Switch. So it's good times. Pricing notwithstanding.
Right.
But yeah, good stuff.
Bizarre pricing. Desmond, any thoughts on Dragon Quest?
I mean, generally, I feel like a lot of older games get new life went on the Switch, right? So I can pretty much see why they would want to do that. It just makes a lot of sense given the 16-bit art style that kind of like ties all the games together.
Remember that new Pokemon?
I personally tried the demo, which just blew my mind because it was like a 10-hour demo, right? I was like, when is this demo gonna end? Yeah, I was like, but it was really impressive, like. I was super surprised at how good it looked on the Switch. It looked a little blurry on my TV, but when it was handheld, I think it was perfect, like for me. So I'm definitely waiting for it to come out and potentially playing it.
Awesome. Andy, you committed the cardinal sin of doc making and put in a link on this next story that auto plays a video. So listeners, that's what you just heard. The autoplay video from this
damn GameSpot.
Yes. So this comes from GameSpot, but this is just a wrap up of the recent Pokemon new Pokemon reveal. Farfetch'd is getting a region specific and game specific evolution. So this is the first time. Farfetch'd was always just a single Pokemon, never had a baby, never had an evolution, but now all of that changes. Where we're getting Sirfetch'd, a lance wielding, shield wielding, Farfetch'd evolution that is exclusive to Pokemon Sword. So he looks like a very, very proper young man, and I love him.
Yeah, he's all grown up. His little shield going on, you know. He's got a little. Is it a sword though? Not a lance he's holding.
I mean, it's really tall. So right. Like it kind of looks like a giant little lance, like he's gonna go on horseback and spear somebody off there.
His little bok choy thing is all grown up.
It's the leek. It's the leek.
It's leek, yeah.
That was their weapon of choice.
I've always called it bok choy.
Bok choy. Yeah, so he's definitely angry. When you go to pet him, you know how you could like play with your Pokemon? When you go to play with them, he just slaps you. He's just like, nah, I'm good. I'm good, homie. We don't need none of that. So yeah, Farfetch'd finally getting it. And that makes you wonder, is Shield going to get a one-off evolution, you know, from the old 150 Pokemon? And I actually had an idea. What about a Pinsir evolution for Shield called Pinsirlot?
I love that idea.
And he could be beefy and armored and stuff. That'd be cool.
Did Pinsir get a Mega Evolution in
Mega Pinsir? Does that count, though?
It's an evolution.
It's a stretch.
Did Farfetch get a Mega Evolution? I don't think so. What little Farfetch got enough for 20 years? 20 goddamn years.
Mega.
This little bok choy. Pinsir. That's all he's got. 20 years.
Looking up Mega Pinsir. Oh, man, he looks awesome, too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but that's not an evolution. That's you need, like, the special gem or whatever
it's
the hell it is.
It's called a Mega Evolution.
You it's know what's bullshit? Title. You want to know what's bullshit?
In the branding.
Because of its typing, it's weak to flying, fire, electric, ice, and rock moves. Weak to. That's what it's weak to, Andy. It's useless.
Isn't that most things in Pokemon?
Yeah. It's bug and flying.
It's strong against what? Fairy types and ghost types? Ooh.
Ooh, you did it. Those yeah. bugs fighting them ghosts. But Pokemon logic confuses me. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Andy, take us into the. Ooh. Oh, Desmond, did you. I want to get your thoughts. Yeah. Did you like the design for. Sir.
I.
Fetched?
I have not actually seen it. And. Gasp. Sorry. And this might be pretty bad, but I actually don't like Pokemon.
That's okay. You don't have to like Pokemon. Yeah. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Cat Quest sucks. All right, continue.
Hey, man.
No. I'm joshing.
Oh my god.
I'm just joshing. All right.
Harsh.
Andy,
harsh.
You know I don't believe that one bit. Andy, take the next story, buddy.
All right, we're getting some Luigi's Mansion 3 post-launch DLC. That's right. Paid DLC, baby. Nintendo catching up big time. We're getting new content to the Scarescaper and the Scream Park. Those puns are even beneath me.
Mm.
So that's bad. You know it's bad.
Mm.
There's no further info or price or when it's going to come out, but it will include spooky new enemies, new mansions, and maybe some new skins for Guigi. All right.
I love me some Guigi.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Like, when you announce DLC prior to a game being released.
Hate it.
Do you like that?
Hate
yeah,
it.
Me too. I feel like, let me enjoy the game and then make me kind of miss playing it. Oh, cool. You're working on more stuff. Awesome.
If you're advertising the game as a game of service, like if you're or it's a free to play and like you want to lay out your roadmap, yeah, I could see that. But like,
yeah, I understand that
those massive these massive first party titles or you know, like it, when The Last of Us 2 gets all its details, which I think it's getting on the 24th. When it gets all its details, like, I don't want to know about DLC. I want to play the single-player game that you worked 7 years making, probably, or whatever it
like,
was.
Unless you're a Kickstarter game with a huge roadmap, like, here's our stretch goals.
And right, we'll stretch, exactly, thing. Exactly. We'll you're Nintendo, dude, like...
Right.
Mm,
this is it's a big first-party game for them this year, so let the game just come out. Don't try to shove paid DLC down my throat. It's like when Smash came out. Like I get the season pass thing. It's a fighting game, so you want folks to know about additional characters down the line. But this is just like I want to enjoy the game as it is when it first comes out.
Yeah, and from like a developer's point of view, like I we just don't really get how developers are able to do that because like for us maybe because we're a small team, right? Like. We're not even able to really think of what we're gonna do yet for DLC because we're just all hands on deck on trying to get the main game out for launch. So the fact that these guys have already DLC to show up for it and stuff, which kind of means either their team is really huge or they've already been done with the game for like a long while.
It could also be, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but could it also be maybe they took as they were making the game, they had a bunch of ideas on the whiteboard and they said, you know what, we can't make release with this idea and this idea and this idea, that could be something we could add on later. And then they're just like, okay, the game went gold. Let's talk about what we want to do first. Okay, I really like that idea. All right, so why don't we get people excited about the future of the game so that they are comfortable with their purchase, spending $60 because they know they're going to play it outside of just the, you know, what we're giving them on the disc. We'll tell them, hey, we're also working on this idea and this idea. Maybe that's kind of the reasoning.
Yeah, that actually happens a lot in the industry. So I used to have a friend that worked in EA like really long ago. So during all, she was telling us that for the FIFA games, right, like a lot of the mechanics that we are playing today were mechanics that were made like 30 years ago or like 20 years ago. So they've like purposely like locked some of the features and slowly unlocked them for future titles. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Scoop. Yep. Look at that. Speaking of scoops and rumors and stuff like that, Alan Wake might be coming to the Nintendo Switch, Andy.
Yeah, so this bit of news comes from GoNintendo.com. Woo! So developer Virtuous, who has worked on other ports in the past, also worked a while ago with Remedy on Alan Wake.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a posting about another port slash remaster of a title, I think, on their website. And a YouTuber by the name of Dr. 81, who had nailed the MK11 port to the Switch before it was announced. Was it some game he had pegged, I think, with accuracy. And he thinks that it's likely points to a Alan Wake remaster coming to Switch and other consoles as well.
Right.
So I love that game. It's like one of my favorite games ever. Isn't of the last generation?
It's essentially Luigi's Mansion, but like for grown-ups.
Right. Yeah. Man, give Luigi a gun. That'd be a great game.
I mean, it really is. It's just you walk around. The flashlight has like kind of like, I don't know if you play Control, but it has like some sort of powers and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, you're fighting shadows, really, and when you focus the flashlight, it just weakens them.
Right.
Yeah. And you can shoot them with your
gun. You need to shoot them with your gun.
Yeah. But we are overdue for a follow up to this game, a proper Alan Wake 2. And also the fact that Remedy just secured the rights to Alan Wake away from Microsoft recently. Mm-hmm. So they can publish the game now if they wanted to. So it feels like it makes sense that it would be Alan Wake to get out there.
The one that started it all.
We'll see. I mean, I'm loving Control right now. It's a great game, but I really want an Alan Wake sequel badly.
I mean, that's a shared universe already. Like Control, Quantum Break, and Alan Wake are all in the same universe, so they have a whole lot that they can do. Very exciting.
It's very like Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, Last Guardian, in a sense. It's all the same kind of universe.
Yeah, but it's a little bit more on the nose though, because like some of the items in Control,
I know it's a little subtle.
Like I feel like Control explains a little bit more about what's going on in Alan Wake as far as, you know, like the flashlight and a certain items and kind of like why things might be happening to him. Like Control kind of grounds everything into one reality, as it were. Well, not whatever.
Right, it makes sense of the things that seem
right
illogical and right like fantastical in
speaking
Alan Wake,
of which... illogical and fantastical, Andy,
oh boy.
Oh,
is the time?
It's time for the hype zone.
Oh my god.
Desmond, you remember the hype zone well, I'm sure. Fun times had by all. I want to actually look, Andy, I want you to introduce the hype zone, because I want to actually see what the hype zone was back. What was it, episode 36?
Oh, I have it pulled up, if you want to know.
Yes, I do want to know.
I have the doc pulled up right here.
Okay.
Let's see. The hype zone for Desmond's first appearance, episode 36. It was, don't look at my screen, bro. It was the two-player mode, the local two-player mode for the Switch.
Uh-huh. Where you just put something on the screen.
It was like a little screen divider.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, that was funny.
It was for them. It was for Handy Mahjong.
Right.
Was the game that they were playing.
What? I don't remember anything about this.
And there was like a little screen you would put up on your TV.
So that somebody can't look at the other player.
You couldn't see the opponent's like Mahjong board and how they were playing.
Well.
And there was the, if you're playing in handheld tabletop mode, there was a tent you can put on your
yep.
Switch
yep.
to hide your...
That must have been a banger.
The other player's screen.
So this hype zone is also about strange peripherals. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, we talked about this.
We did. We mentioned it.
Last week.
Yeah.
Because it was the hype zone then. And then... We got the full reveal for what is now known as the Ring Fit Adventure, which is a exercise/RPG.
Whoa!
That Nintendo is working on.
They really should have called it Fat Quest,
right?
Then they could have partnered up with Desmond and the Gentle Bros, made Fat Quest, Fat Quest 2. It would have been great.
This stars a plucky fire-haired character, apparently, and you have to use specific motions and movements to dish out damage to... It looks turn-based, the combat. And this is... I think this is groundbreaking. This is the real future of gaming.
Wait, but how does it tie into, like...
So it's an actual ring band that you can put around your body, your legs, or you can throw in the air, and it uses the Joy-Con gyroscope to detect the motion.
Oh.
That's how it gets the feedback from the player.
I see. So,
I just sent you a message in the chat, Desmond, so you can see. You could watch the video. Just be careful. It's a YouTube video. So
we're all talking about next gen, PS5. Scarlet Switch Lite is coming out. Rumblings of a Switch Pro enhanced, a Switch 2.0. But this is the real deal. This is the future of gaming. This is it. The Wii Fit successor is finally here. We made it. We did it.
Finally. I mean,
yeah.
Balance board be damned.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did.
I'm actually kind of interested to try this out, man.
Listen, man. Whatever gets people, you know, in shape.
I'm gonna eat cake while I play this game.
Nintendo, if you're listening, Nintendo, I will do a comprehensive, deep dive into this thing if you send it to me. I will do it.
You can track your calories burned.
Yes.
And your
I will do progress. Everything. I will do everything. I will do a. I will log my weight loss. I will do it for the website. Every week, I will post when I worked out, what I'd worked out, what my scores were, where I am in the game. And I'll do before and after pictures. I'll do the whole thing, Nintendo. Just send it to me. It's $80. It's $80. All right. Before we get into the Retro Game Club, which I'm sure Andy is prepared for, and Desmond and I are a team this week. I'm very excited about this. Before we do that, let me tell you about our sponsor from the top of the show. That's Melted Pins. MeltedPins.com is a website that sells unique and original tattoo art-inspired wonderful goodies like buttons, pins, and much, much more. I want to see what they have new this week, if anything new has popped up. No, we're still in the fall collection. So we still have our Summoning Fall mug, which I really am going to buy, I promise, at some point. So yeah, artist Kelsey Lin of she's one of the Kind of Funny best friends. She's been a friend of mine for a while. She started the store, and I absolutely fell in love with the items. We worked out a little partnership. She's actually done art for us. She's currently doing some more art for us. She's done art for websites and podcasts and YouTube channels and all that stuff all over the planet. Very talented. So if you go to meltedpins.com and you use the checkout code NDSMELTED, you get 10% off of your purchase. It's simple. All right, you check out the stuff. It's meltedpins.com. Check out code NDSMELTED, and you get 10% off your purchase. You could follow Melted Pins on social media at Melted Pins. That's at Melted Pins. You can see all the new fun designs, all the stuff that's coming soon, and all that fun stuff there. Sassy Shark, that was from Melted Pins. Loved Sassy Shark. It's a beautiful. It's a shark head with sexy legs. Very cute. Very, very fun stuff, I'll be honest. So yeah, if you go to meltedpins.com, again, the checkout code is NDSMELTED. And for those of you who do watch the YouTube version of the show and you see the intro of the show, which has video of me, I have my Melted Pin on my microphone, the little fluffy microphone part, so it's really cool. All right, so that's going to take us into the final segment of the show, which is the Retro Game Club. Andy, are you ready to dive into this bad boy?
Yeah, I want to pull up and see what we covered the last time.
Were we doing Retro Game Club last time? That's interesting.
Yes, we were.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
A matter of fact, in the quote that we have from Desmond on our Patreon page, he's looking forward to the next retro game trivia.
Yes,
right. He was...
So Desmond knows how it works.
I was pissed that I couldn't guess the last one, so I'm going to try my best this time.
All right. Beautiful.
I want to pull up the game, but I do know that last time you were on the show, Desmond, Steven was down by, let's see. I'll do some quick math here. He was down by 18 points.
Wow.
18 points.
And it's almost as bad now.
Right. You're down by 17 points.
Last week's game was Kung Fu. For those of you who are new to the show, this is how you play this game. Andy's going to give Desmond and I a clue. And then we, as a team, can choose to either guess the game with that clue, or we could get on to the next clue. But the more clues we get, the less points we earn. So with the first clue, we get 10 points. Second clue, 9 points, and so on and so forth. We only get 3 total guesses, so we can't just go throwing guesses willy-nilly. But if we want to ask a yes or no question, we could do so, but we also forfeit one of our guesses. Andy, let us begin the Retro Game Club.
All right. This platforming title takes place in New York City.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. I want to say something, but I don't know if...
Did Earthworm Jim take place in New York City? I remember the junkyard. I don't remember if that was New York or like an alien planet or something.
Wait, so how many guesses do we have again?
So we get 3 total guesses.
Right, between the two of us. So if we were to ask a yes or no question, it uses up one of those guesses?
Yes, exactly. Unless it's like clarifying question, like if he says something that doesn't make sense or that needs like more information to make the clue actually, you know, useful, we can use that, and that's at Andy's discretion. He may say no, that's not a clarifying question, that's a yes or no, are you sure you want to answer it or ask it, you know, that kind of thing. I think New York City, so I'm wondering if it's like based on a licensed property.
I'm wondering if, besides platforming, is there like combat involved?
And what would constitute as combat? Like Mario, do you think there's combat in Mario, or you think more traditionally like shooting or melee combat?
Yeah, I'm thinking that.
Okay.
I think I'll try to use one of my guesses.
It's both of us. We both have the guesses. We're working as a team.
Okay.
So yeah, it's 3 between the two of us.
So are we allowed to just dis- We can just discuss, right?
We're discussing, yes, yeah. Of between course, you yeah. and I, we could discuss. If you want to guess, I won't say no. I could honestly use 10 points. I'm not going to lie. But what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, I mean, the only retro game that I know that takes place in New York City and has platforming is Ninja Gaiden, right?
Ooh, Ninja Gaiden, New York City. Oh, that's right. It did. Okay.
I mean, but if it's like a purely platforming game, then obviously.
Right. Why don't we get it? Why don't we get another clue and see if that points us in the right direction? All right, Andy. One more clue.
This game was released in 1991 for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
1991. That's the height of Turtle Mania. But it's not. But I don't remember there being a because Ninja Turtles was definitely New York. But I don't remember. I don't think they. They're not considered platforming games. NES game 1991 takes place in New York City. Could be one of those. Wasn't? Oh, wait a minute. No. Wait. Oh shit. I might know this. There. It's probably one of those cat games. The alley cat games. What was the name of the character? There was Top Cat, but that was from Hanna-Barbera. It's got to be one of those games, and I don't want to. I'm going with the cat theme. I feel like that's smart.
Wait, then just ask where to try to do it as a yes no question.
Sure. You know, does this Andy? Does this? Do you want me to ask if it stars like a cat as the main character?
Yeah.
Okay, because I think that's where we're going. Okay, Andy, does this game star a cat?
This game does star a cat.
Oh my god! I know. I could picture this game in my head.
We're going to the next clue.
Yes, go to the next clue, please.
The word cat is in the game's title.
Could it be Top Cat? Oh my god.
I think this is out of my league, man. I don't remember playing any cat games when I was young.
Oh, the irony.
Oh.
You can't choose this game just because like,
I really hate cat games, to be honest.
Oh no. Oh man.
That was a great
Dude, Top Cat was an cartoon. Awesome show. It was an awesome cartoon. It had such a great cast of characters.
Indisputable leader of the gang. Such a good theme song.
Oh man, I really think it's Top Cat. Oh, but I don't remember when. I don't remember when that came out. I don't remember if it was if they actually had it. They did have an NES game because it was like. It was a platform, but I think you threw like a rock or something. Like I'm picturing like jumping on trash cans and shit. Oh man.
Well, there's definitely trash cans in this game.
Well, yeah, it's New York.
as any cat game would have, just trash cans all over the place.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for
your
next clue?
I think we got to get another clue. Yeah.
All right. Your main weapon is something called a punch gun.
Who were the big cats back then? There was.
And I'll give you a bonus.
Okay.
With this clue, you could attack, but you could also do like a Bionic Commando, attach and swing, from platforms and ledges. With it. You can swing around.
The big cat, like especially in the States, I think one of the big cats was Felix the Cat. He was big in the States, and that was really the only time it was. What year did you say this was?
1991.
I don't know. I feel like Felix the Cat was later, like 93, 94. I don't know.
I think you're on your own, man. Sorry.
Shall we continue?
Yeah, give us another clue.
All right. This game that was developed by Atlus of all people.
What?
Yeah, they did a lot of licensed games for NES.
Featured five stages known as channels that you can pick in any order from the start.
Five stages known as channels.
There were channels. So to clarify, the first four were in any order. They would lock the fifth.
Channel. This sounds so familiar. Yeah. I definitely played this game.
It's channels like TV channels?
Yeah, like TV channels.
Oh man, what were the other cats? There were. It was Eek the Cat.
Oh, Eek the Cat was a really good show.
But that was later, I think. I don't know if that was 91. I feel like that was a little bit later, like, again, like 93, 94. Like, that, the 93 and on is, like, my where my years come together, because it was all, like, video game and sports-based year memories. But, like, before that, I played so many, like, there are games that from 1985 that I only first played in 1990, 1991. So, like, the my years of when these games came out are a little hazy. Oh man.
Man, 91. I think I was too young to even play games by then, man, at the time. Jeez.
Yeah.
I definitely do not know this.
And Atlas made all of those LJN games and all those licensed shits. Oh no.
Looks like you're gonna be even more behind in points.
Hey, if I get any points.
He'll get a few. I feel he'll get a few. Should we go on to the next clue?
Yeah, give me one more clue.
Alright. You play as a cat named Willie, who is a jazz musician.
Rockin' Cats.
Why else?
Rockin' Cats. I know, it's Rockin' Cats.
Whoa.
It is Rockin' Cats. It's,
yes! Yes. So, I think you've given this game before.
No, not Rockin' Cats.
I think you have.
You think?
I think you have.
Damn.
I think you have, my friend, because I remember the punch glove.
Right.
And I remember not being able to figure out the IP. The first time around.
All right, so we've done this each once now. We've repeated games in the retro game club. So listeners, please go back and give us a full list, because we gotta stop doing this shit.
How many points did I get? Six?
I gave you more.
Six. You gave me five clues, so right. 6 points.
Take your 6 points.
Catching up. Only 11 points behind now. Yeah, I remember you gave that game before. Yeah. And I think Alex Gonzalez Caneless, I think he had things to say about it.
Rockin' Cats.
Yeah, I remember that game. Man, this was a fun episode. I love when we have a repeat guest on, because we have that rapport. And Desmond, you are just awesome. I remember when we had you on the first time, that was the third time we had a guest on the show, but it was the first time that we looked at each other and we said that we can do this. Because, like, the first two, like, we kind of stumbled our way through, and, like, you made it so easy for us to kind of sit down and just chit-chat, and, like, you surprised us with your sense of humor. And Desmond, you're one of our favorite guests we've ever had on the show.
No, thank you.
We love having you on. And please, whenever you come visit New York City, you let us know so that we can meet up with you and get you very, very inebriated and do all sorts of fun stuff.
Sounds fun.
I mean, you're okay.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
You're all right.
Don't let it get to your head, okay?
He's not that great.
Maybe when Cat Quest 6 comes out,
Okay, sure.
You're going to be the Hideo Kojima of cat games.
Oh, man, that'll make, like, Cat Stranding, right?
Yeah. Oh, and on that note...
I got, like, the weirdest visual in my head right now when he said the words Cat Stranding.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right.
And it's still played by Norman Reedus. Okay, no.
Oh, absolutely. It's Norman Reedus' cat for some reason.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Bernstein's dog that he brought on the stage. what was that? Oh, the guy.
Wait,
who?
Seriously?
Yeah, dude. It wasn't for Death Stranding. It was for Ghost Recon, I think.
Oh,
no,
the actor that played Punisher, and he was in Walking Dead. He was Shane in Walking Dead. He came on with his dog, and the dog was just sitting there. He's like, "Oh yeah, that's my dog." I think his name was like Butch or something like that. And everybody and Twitter went nuts because people were like, first of all, good dog. Second of all, like he didn't react. Like people were thunderously applauding, and he was like didn't even flinch. And then we were wondering, is he a service dog? Does like he need him because he's nervous? But apparently he like he rescues and trains dog. I don't know. It was a weird thing. Like if you go to his website, he's got like 5 dogs that he like rescues and like trains from like to getting them off the street, and they're like these perfect dogs. I don't know it, but yeah, he's kind of a support animal for him. I don't know. It was weird. But anyway, that's an interesting way to end the show. Proven Gamer, remember, ladies and gentlemen, Proven Gamer is the home of Nintendo Dual Screens. We're part of the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Whores, a PlayStation podcast, Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast, and PG Spoilers, a spoiler podcast that's hosted by you, the listeners. So if you want to be a part of that, you can email them over there at pgspoilers@provengamer.com. I think that's how you do it. Pretty sure that's how you do it. If it's not how you do it, I'll look it up. You can follow us on social media. We are at NDS Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me. I'm at Batchild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/NDS Podcast. And one more time, Desmond, where can everybody find you? Everybody find the Gentle Bros and Cat Quest.
You can find us on Twitter at the Gentle Bros. You can follow our Facebook page, which is just search for Cat Quest on Facebook. And yeah, if you want to play Cat Quest, it's out now on Apple Arcade, and you can wishlist it on Steam. It'll be coming out next week on the 24th of September.
And when that does come out, I will have my Dual Screens First Play, which you can find that series on our YouTube channel. Just search for Nintendo Dual Screens. It's dual with an E, or in this in our post of this show on our website, we will have the link to the YouTube channel, so you could also check it out there. If you're watching this or listening to this on YouTube, it's on this channel. We have a playlist. You could look for that video as well. It'll be up within the first couple of days that the game comes out. And if you want to watch us play maybe live, maybe this will be a fun little streaming game, Andy.
Oh yeah, it is co-op.
It is. Is it online co-op? I want.
No, it's local. It's local co-op.
So you're gonna have to get off your ass.
God damn it!
Yeah, you're gonna have to get off your ass. But if you want to watch that, you could go to twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. That's twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Final thank yous here. Thank you Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song. Thank you Matt Murray for our Twitch overlays. Thank you Dan Colon of Dinosaur Machines and Hit Buttons Gaming and twitch.tv/DanOMac for our logo, which I approached about getting a refresh of our Nintendo Dual Screen logo, and there might be something in the works from old Dan Colonna.
I like where this is going.
Indeed, he's a little busy right now, but we've been speaking. So and of course Andrew Douglas for all of our wonderful cartoon art and you could follow, and he actually made our Cat Quest art, right? Didn't he?
He did.
Oh, he did.
A little.
Yeah, he's a
cat avatars.
Our cat avatars, yeah. Yes. And you can follow him on social media at Angimoto, AngiMoto. And remember, folks, you can listen to this show's pre and or post show by being a Patreon supporter, patreon.com/NDS podcast, and that's the $5 tier gets you an additional one or two audio shows a week, where we do either a pre or a post show, or sometimes we do both, and they can range between 10 minutes and an hour, so you never know what you're going to get with the pre and post show. Desmond, thank you so much for joining us. You're awesome. I wish you nothing but luck. And I can't wait to sink my teeth into and get my paws on Cat Quest 2. Very, very excited. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. Yeah.
Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah. We're doing a deep dive next week, baby.
That's right.
We're talking to
Adam. It's already in the can.
Yes, it is. Look at us. We're so good at our jobs. So great. So we're talking to Adam Volker of Flight School Studio all about Creature in the Well. Love that fucking game.
A deep, deep, deep dive. We get we get down to the nitty gritty. We I mean, he cries. We laugh.
I cried.
Yeah, everybody cried. Cool. My mom cried. She was next door, but she still cried anyway.
It was the emotional for me.
Very emotional. are once again, folks, this has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 117 for the week of September 23rd. Thank you so much, Andy. Thank you, Desmond. And as always, please be excellent to each other. Everybody, I think I'm ready.
Stretch your jowls out.
Yeah. I think I'm ready. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
All right, everybody, shut up.